Is Zone 2 running really worth it? And does it really work like it says it does? Let's dive into today's episode.
Welcome to Rehab for Runners, the podcast for runners who are ready to get out of pain and run with more confidence. Dr. Lisa will guide you with the clarity you need to unleash your potential with tools, practical tips, and exercises so you can enjoy your runs and exceed your goals.
Welcome back to another episode on the Rehab for Runners podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lisa, and man, has my life changed in 1 year. Last year at this time, I was so frustrated. I thought I just wasn't cut out for long distance running, and I thought I was doing everything right in my training since I was following a training plan for a 10K. Fast forward a year, and I've been able to run my easy pace with my heart rate staying 50 beats per minute lower, build my endurance 10 times faster, and my sprint pace has decreased by 58 seconds. That's insane to think about in just 1 year. Other things that I've done in my running journey that have helped include that I started foam rolling pre-run, as the research is telling us that there's more benefits if we foam roll pre-run versus post-run. I've been fueling pre-run and during my longer runs. I can't believe I used to run without a single gel or fuel, just on E basically, which is probably why I felt awful. And I've been running based on effort instead of pace, which means I don't look at my watch as much during my run. I used to stare at my watch. I'd really get in my head about looking at my watch and thinking how much further I have to go, or the fact that I wasn't hitting a certain pace all the time. So it's been a breath of fresh air over this past year. Now, while all of this has happened, I've also completed my first marathon 8 minutes faster than my goal time, and I PR'd a half marathon by 3 minutes. This is all great, but I wouldn't have been able to do it without Zone 2. In today's episode, I'm not going to go over the benefits of Zone 2 or how to set up Zone 2. So if you're interested, I do have a free video training for you in the show notes, so make sure you check that out. I walk you through exactly why you should consider training in Zone 2, when you should train in Zone 2, and maybe when you should run based more on effort, and how to set up your Zone 2 heart rate ranges. I think it's a very beneficial training, so make sure you check that out in the show notes. Today, I really want to dive into the nitty-gritty of Zone 2 and talk to you more about tips to help you get through the first couple months of it, because after you establish this base with your heart rate, it's pretty much smooth sailing. You start to understand the pace that is your Zone 2, you understand how it feels, and you can usually start to tell when you get out of Zone 2 into Zone 3 by your breathing patterns. Before we get started with these tips though, I want to give you some testimonials for Zone 2 so you feel inspired if you aren't already training in it. I know it can feel frustrating at first. I was cussing up a storm during the first couple months of running in Zone 2, and I would go home and I'd be even more frustrated because I didn't feel like I got a good workout in. I wasn't as tired, but this is 100% normal and it's part of the process. If you are training for a race in the fall, now would be the time to start with Zone 2 training. This is exactly the time that I started with Zone 2 last year, and then I finished my marathon in November of last year. Now, with these testimonials, I'm not going to note their exact names, but just know this testimonial is 100% real. So let's start with Sarah from the Complete Runners Club. She said, "I'm so excited and proud of myself. I did a 5-minute walk warm-up, 3 minutes on, 1 minute off, 7 times. I felt great. I felt so strong. I stayed in Zone 2. I didn't even have to look at my watch. And I feel like I'm building my endurance very quickly." That is so inspiring, and I feel like it's such a good feeling when you start to realize that this is actually working. Like, your training with Zone 2 is actually playing into you becoming a stronger runner and closer to you hitting your goals. Now for what Jimmy said. Jimmy said, "I had a fantastic run today. I didn't look at my watch at all, except to see when I'd hit the 15-minute mark to turn around. So I didn't know my pace or heart rate the entire time. All I knew is that I felt great during it and was breathing through my nose the entire time. I was so pleasantly surprised to see that I stayed in zone 2 the entire time and with a faster pace than what I recommended for the run. Wish all my runs could be this good. Thanks so much, Dr. Lisa. That's amazing. I feel like running based on effort, we'll talk about this later, but based on effort over staring at your watch is so important and it really brings more joy to your run. Last one is what Rebecca said. She said, I ran the fastest sprint I've ever run after 3 months of zone 2 training. I can't believe how effortless it felt and I can't wait for my long run this Saturday. Awesome, Rebecca. So now that you may be more convinced to start training in zone 2, let's go through some tips that will help you. These tips are just based on questions I get asked and things that have popped up. So they might feel a little random, but they all are around zone 2 and they all will help you train in zone 2. Let's start with the runners who feel like when they're walking, they're in zone 2 and they're wondering, should I even start running? Because when I walk, I'm already in zone 2. So first off, I encourage you to go through the zone 2 training in the show notes. It's completely free. And I encourage you to go through what's called the Carvonin method to establish and calculate your zone 2 heart rate range, because I just want to make sure that your numbers are correct. I wouldn't go 100% off what your watch says for your zone 2 range until you've calculated it. I would also train in zone 2 with your cross training. So think like cycling in zone 2. I did a ton of this in the beginning, only staying in zone 2. You can also do the elliptical for zone 2, but just find other ways to train in that zone 2. When it comes to running, if, you know, say you've calculated it and you're like, all right, I'm still walking in zone 2, I encourage you to run based on the RPE scale. This stands for rate of perceived exertion. So it's basically going off your effort. It's from 1 to 10. 10 is the most intense, like a full out sprint, a bear is chasing you. A 1 is like you are walking to the front door, like it's easy, easy, easy pace. So when you're running, I want you to run your quote easy pace. Now, this is all dependent on your journey and how you're feeling, but I want you to run with it at a 3 or 4 out of 10. So it's gonna take some self-assessment, but when you can run at a 3 or 4, that's telling me that you are running at a light pace, an easier pace. You could hold that pace for a very long time and it feels that way. Over time, this will help you decrease your heart rate when you're exercising, when you're walking, and then when you're running. The second tip I have is that when you're running in zone 2 and you're starting to run in zone 2, it can be really intimidating to run 2 or 3 minutes slower than what you are used to, because you might find that your form falls apart, it feels really sloppy, you might feel like it's, you know, not doing anything, which is okay. It's okay to feel that way. I know I felt that way too, but I'm more concerned about your form when you all of a sudden slow down 2 to 3 minutes. So one thing that I encourage you to do is to slowly start decreasing your pace. Now this can happen over like a 1 to 2 week time period, but think about it. If I'm running a 10 minute mile and now all of a sudden you're like, all right, now you pretty much have to run around a 12 to 13 minute mile. And this is just based off my experience. I thought a 10 minute mile was my quote easy pace. And for some it is, but for me it was not. And when I started training in zone 2, it turns out that in the beginning, I was running around 13 minute miles in zone 2, and now I'm down to 11 to 12 minute miles in zone 2. So when I started running 3 minutes slower, my form got pretty sloppy, and I'm finding that that's super common. So instead of jumping 10 to 13 minutes or 8 minutes to 12 minutes or 8 minutes to 11 minutes or 12 minutes to 15 minutes, whatever it is, then I encourage you to slowly decrease your pace by 30 seconds each run. So say you're like, all right, I'm training on a 10 minute mile. I'm pretty much in zone 3 or zone 4 as my quote easy pace. So I would say your next run, I want you to run it at 10:30. And then the run after that, I want you to run it at 11 minutes, and you basically decrease your pace by 30 seconds until you've hit zone 2. Now, This might be difficult because I know for me, like I said, I was at that 13 minute mark in the beginning, sometimes 13:30 in zone two, but I also had to take rest breaks by walking to decrease my heart rate. So just try to decrease it until you're around zone two and you feel like you have more control around zone two, even if you have to walk at times to decrease your heart rate. I highly recommend that. Then it's a much slower and smoother transition. Moving on to tip number three, I want to talk about fueling for a second. If you aren't fueling appropriately, this can cause your heart rate to increase. Now, this is something I learned last year when I was marathon training. I really did not fuel at all before marathon training, to be honest. Like I would have like maybe a banana before a run, but when it came to fueling during a run, that was non-existent. Now, note, I am not a dietitian. I don't know the background of why this is the case. It's just not my scope, but I know it is super common. And I think it shows the importance of fueling pre-run and during a run, even if it's a shorter run. So like I said, I would eat a banana before a run. You can use applesauce. I use applesauce a lot. Pop-Tarts, pizza toast, waffle and peanut butter, so many options. And then during the run, making sure that you're fueling appropriately every 30 to 45 minutes, whatever works best for you during a longer run or a harder workout. Now, this is important, especially for a longer run, because as you run longer distances, your heart rate will start to increase towards the end of the run, and that's all about cardiac drift. So when that happens, if you note that your heart rate increases towards the end of a run, it doesn't have to be a long run. I know for me, it was after like, you know, in the beginning, 3 miles. My third mile, I was like, you know, I did great for the first two. What happened to the third? But it really comes down to just slowing your pace down or going into a walk jog. So walking when you need to, I'll talk about that in a second, but just note that that could be the case and then just making sure that you're fueling appropriately before and during a run. Moving on to tip number four. This is a little bit of a controversial tip, but that is that conversational pace, in my opinion, is not zone two pace. I say my opinion, but facts are facts. This is just not the best advice, and I'll tell you why. Conversational pace for some can be your easy pace. For those who aren't going off zone two, it could be your easy pace. Conversational pace could also be your zone two pace if you have trained it and you are able to control your heart rate. But in the beginning, conversational pace is usually not zone two pace. Your heart rate does not care that you can spit out sentences on a run and still run at a certain pace. And when you talk and run, it actually increases your heart rate because it throws off your breathing. Now, this doesn't mean you shouldn't talk and run. I just want you to keep that in mind. I know for me, when I actually looked at this, because I always thought my conversational pace was my easy pace, and I thought conversational pace meant I could say like a sentence and get it out and not be absolutely dying and have to like take a deep breath in between the sentence. But when I looked at this, my heart rate was at about 165 beats per minute for what I thought my conversational pace is or was. And then my zone two is about 135 beats per minute. And that's like mid zone two for me. Now that's a huge difference and it makes a big impact on your training. I have no problem with you talking while you're running, running with someone, being on a phone call while you're running, you know, that is not a problem to me, but I just don't think in the beginning you should go off the talk test as your zone two pace. I think it's really important to take note of what is your heart rate saying that it is, and that is the data that you need to go off of. All right, last tip is all about the walk jog intervals, because in the beginning you might be going into walk jog intervals so you can stay in zone two. There is nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong with it. It's all about doing what you need to do to build that base and build your aerobic endurance. So I just want to clear up that walk jog intervals doesn't mean that, you know, you have to be running at 3 minutes on, 1 minute off, or it's like what it would be if you're in those return to run intervals, like 2 minutes on, 1 minute off, 7 times. If you're used to running like that, then that's perfectly fine. But don't think that when I say to do walk jog intervals in zone two, that means that it's like a certain interval at a certain time. For me, it really means like you're going off what your heart rate says. And if, say, I'm jogging and all of a sudden my heart rate's like 150 And I think for me, my zone two is like 132 to like 144. So it's a little bit above zone two. So I slow my pace down just a little bit. I work on my breathing. It still is not lowering like it should. Let's say it's still like 149 now. So if I have slowed my pace down, I've kind of exhausted the other options without walking, then I'm gonna go ahead and walk. And I'm gonna walk until my heart rate says that it's in the middle of zone two. And if my watch is being super slow or it's delayed or it's just not picking up my heart rate, I will go off of when I can catch my breath, I feel like my breathing is super under control, and then I'll start back with jogging. So just to clear that up, for me, it wasn't like I was running for 3 minutes or 4 minutes, I walk a minute. It was all based off what my heart rate says. Now, this does mean I was looking at my heart rate a pretty good amount in the beginning. I tried not to, but I was also like super, super curious what my heart rate was. So I'd glance at it a good amount. But now that I run, I don't even look at my watch on my easy pace because I pretty much know I'm in zone two. And when I'm out of zone two, I can feel that my breathing is a little bit more intense. So for me, I just go based off effort. But in the beginning, I was looking at my heart rate on my watch a lot. And I think that's important to note. It doesn't have to be like that forever. It's just in the beginning. All right, that concludes this episode. I will drop the previous episodes of Zone 2 and my experience with Zone 2 in the beginning in the show notes. And if you enjoyed it, please rate and review it. And have a great run. I'll talk to you next time. Bye.